like that song before that. He's a way maker. He's a way maker, promise keeper, amen. That is who he is. And we go through our lives and we go through our days, and sometimes we feel a loss, we feel abandoned, we feel like we're out there, we're the only ones, but we're never alone, amen. Even when no one physically is around you, he is around you by that of the Holy Spirit. And he comforts us and he holds us and he understands us. Go figure that out. I don't know, my wife is still trying to figure me out after 40 some odd years. I always throw a 45, yeah, 45. I always throw a curve. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you. So as we look at the Word today, I want to go and, of course, this week has been a very, as most of you, and we shared a lot already in Sunday school hour, but the emotional roller coaster that I was on, and Wayne 2 weeks back talked about it, a roller coaster we're on. We had my daughter share last week, what a timely message for Wayne and for Heather to get this message of your default. What do we default to when things happen in our lives? And it truly helped me understand those things. And so you come to find out that you don't have the answers all the time. Or if you've got the answers at that present time, it's probably not going to minister a whole lot to a situation because of the tragic event and where the people's minds are and the emotional distress that they're all under. And I kind of experienced that this week. I went into a distressful situation. It was like an acute stress. It was unplanned. It was unexpected. It was like you only all of a sudden 1 minute it's this, and 30 seconds, 10 seconds after that, it's really caused an upheaval. And so that's what we would call like an acute stress system that hits our system. And then once that happens, our guess what your mind does? You know, you start, what now? But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for God's Word. Thank God for God being true to His Word. Amen. But I was working on this whole week. I wanted to look at, and I had it like a week or two last week of going into Romans 15, and I was going to share there. And it was speaking of the burdens, that we're to carry others' burdens. It's bearing others' burdens. And I've been working and thinking on this, and 15, 1 through 6, and started and had it, sat down yesterday in the early afternoon and just putting more thoughts there, and it just stopped. It stopped. Huh. So guess what I did? Went up to that delete button and just deleted it. I said, this isn't it. My mind was going, my mind is kind of going in multiple directions trying to figure out a lot of things. A lot of times just figuring out myself. And it just wouldn't come. So I started working on the music and I did the music. And then I got that pretty well wrapped up and I went down and just kind of sat some time in the living room, chilling out, you know. It's like, what do you do? The one thing I did understand of myself this week is that I am not sufficient in myself. Whoa! You talk about how that hits you. No matter what, I am not sufficient in my own ways, my own abilities, my own understanding at times. Even though my understanding is right with that of God, it's just still those things in my flesh, in my mind, in my emotions, in who I am, that God created us as human beings living in flesh that have emotions, that experiences trauma, that things happen that we don't like, things that we can't turn back. I think I went back up at early evening, and the Lord took me to 2 Corinthians 3. It starts in 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. And verse 5 is where it hit me, because that's where I was at. And maybe a lot of us get there one time or another. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of our own, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Boy, that was nailing me right between the eyes. Tim, you're nothing. You have nothing in the natural, in your own thought process and who you are as a man and what you can handle or how you think you can take care of a situation. But it was understanding too, that I knowing that God is in me through that of the Holy Spirit. Because then it goes on, but our sufficiency is from God. When we go through trials, tragedies, ups and downs, roller coasters of life, we find that, yes, my roller coaster, my default, my understanding is I need to default to God, and I need to understand that the sufficiency in myself is not enough, and that it'll just wear you out, wear you down, and it'll just keep you going in circles. Anybody ever tried to have sufficiency within yourself and you find this? You don't have the answer. You don't have the clue. You don't have what's needed. And all of a sudden, you just have to rely on God. Because guess who's there? God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Greater is you and me than he's in the world. I got the great one within me. I've got everything I need to handle life situations on this side of heaven. I just have to, guess what? Disconnect my humanology of it and connect in the spiritual side of that of God and the Holy Spirit to continually guide me, lead me, comfort me, keep joy in me, keep me focused, keep me whatever. And as we're sharing in this, let me see here a second. And I'll read it in some other versions as well, just about two other versions that I might touch upon here. But we're talking about Christ's epistle. We're talking about, you know, glory of the new covenant. We're there and we're trying to teach and we're showing and we're to be that light in a dark place. We're to share salvation. We're to share the message of the cross. We're to share what people of this life need. Amen. In the new century, it says, we can say this because, same verse, 2 Corinthians 3, 4 to 6. We can say this because through Christ we feel certain before God. You know, through Christ I know who I am in God, amen, and who God is with me, because Christ is my Lord and Savior. We are not saying that we can do this work ourselves. It is God who makes us able to do all that we do. It is God who makes us do what all that we can do, and it's best to do what? Get out of the way of God and allow God to be God. Allow God to move in these situations in your life. To allow God to move in my situations this week, knowing that my God is there with me. And I know my God is with the family as well. But what more can I do, God? How can I help other than what? Compassion and love and cry and weep and feel the hurt as they feel the hurt. And I groan with them. And I question along with them. Just because I question God doesn't mean that I don't believe God. Just because we question him and say, why, I don't understand, this doesn't make sense, it doesn't mean, oh, ye of little faith. It just means I'm trying to find some clarity in it. And I've also come to understand through that of God that there's times, and sometimes it's many times, he doesn't always share the true fullness of why. He just has to say, but you got to trust me, Tim. Do you trust me? And it's like, yes, God, I trust you. And when we get to that level of that, then we begin to rebuild or bring back up, okay, that faith within us. So then I'm able to begin to gain strength. What? Not from my sufficiency, but from God's sufficiency that I draw upon in me. And when we run a little low, when your dipstick is showing you're only, you know, you're like a quart low in oil on your car and you got to add it, you know, and your spiritual dipstick, you may need to say, I need more. Fill me, Lord. Come more to me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Now, in the Passion Translation, it says, we carry this confidence in our hearts because of our union with Christ before God. Yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. For our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. Our competence in doing the things that God wants us to do, it's through His empowering presence in you, in me, in us, in His church, to be the light in this place. Wow. Wow. And you know what, guys? To be the light in a place that's dying and there's yuck and life is hard and there's misery and there's turmoil and there's death and there's tragedy and there's things that are just all in a mixed bag of things in this world. Wow. You better have something stronger than what this world has. Because this world has nothing. Now, people will try the things of this world, medicate, self-medicate, drink, whatever the case might be, to try to numb themselves, to do whatever, to say, going into like a denial type thing. See, I was kind of like in that this last week, you know, when I said, no, 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 this isn't happening. No, no, no. I was in a self-denial. It's natural. It's kind of weird. Because I'm thinking to myself, man, Tim, you're a chaplain for the police tour. You know how many times I've gone to a family that has experienced a death of a child, of an infant, of a teenager, through a car accident, through a suicide, through whatever the case might be, an overdose? I've gone many times into those family rooms, into the hospital. And before I go into the family room, because I was called there as a chaplain for the department, I usually have been back in the ER. But not there as a chaplain. I couldn't go back there. I'm here as a pastor to this family. But I was thinking to myself, my goodness, I'm experiencing the same things that I try to help people with when I go to their door, whatever hour of the day. What's going on? We have some tragic news to share with you. Let's go in and talk. And many times when we've broken the news, no, 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 it can't be. No, it's not. Man, wow. So I began to look at myself like, oh my gosh, Tim, you got to take care of yourself. And we do that through that of God and try to talk it out with people and try to share things and not to, you know, hide it. Say, oh no, it didn't affect me. It's okay. I'm tough. Oh. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. I had a crash course of that this week. It kind of re-enlightened me. And, got to get back in the saddle and go, right? We're to be a help to the people in this world that are experiencing loss and pain and suffering. I can't help them. I can help them by my presence. I can help them by my compassion, yes. But I call upon the one that can help us all, that of God through the Holy Spirit. Because, guys, I know that when I go into these situations, that the Holy Spirit is there with me. And that He brings comfort and solace and peace into these situations. I've shared before quickly how those on the scene, when a chaplain arrives out to a particular position that's taking place in the town, that an officer or the detective will say, man, when you guys came, the stress and the tense and the just everything happening there just really kind of went down. I don't know if they understand it, but when they tell me that, it just tells me, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being there in your spirit, to be there to bring comfort. And it's like, as we're thinking, well, as a pastor, hope he's going with us all the time, you know? But we always pray, Lord, be there. Be there with us. Now, when we look at this word real quick, sufficiency. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I just want to go into it just a little bit of the derivative and how we can get there. Let's see. So what do we find for sufficiency? It's pronounced as like that of El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. Pronounced El Shaddai, this is best known of the El compound. It means the all-sufficient one, and it is usually translated in the English Bible as God Almighty, the Almighty, or Almighty God. So in the English, we see Almighty God. It's that like that of El Shaddai. We can come up and look some things, and like I say, we're not going to dig, because I'm not that I don't have that ability to dig deep into these things. But the Hebrew word, I think it's da, El Shaddai, D-A-I, meaning sheds forth, pours out, or to heap benefits, such as provisions. So the Hebrew word D-A-I speaks of like pouring out, shedding forth, heaping benefits. It suggests provision, sustenance, and blessings. Thus, God is the all-sufficient, all-bountiful. The Hebrew word shad, or shadaim, meaning breast or breast, occurs 24 times as shaddai and signifies one who nourishes, one who supplies, one who satisfies. Combined with this word for God, El Shaddai, it then becomes this, one mighty to nourish, one able to satisfy, and one that will supply. My sufficiency comes from El Shaddai. My insufficiency is filled with His sufficiency. The Hebrew word Rudut Shaddad, D-A-D, it means to overpower or to destroy, suggest absolute power. And God is that. God is what? All powerful. He creates by Him just going, He could blow this earth away, you know? Oh, it means to overpower or to destroy, suggest absolute power, while Elohim is the God who creates. In the name Shaddai, God reveals Himself as the God who compels nature to do what is contrary to itself. He is able to triumph over every obstacle and all opposition. He is able to subdue all things to Himself. El Shaddai, my God! El Shaddai, all powerful. Hallelujah. His sufficiency is what I want. His sufficiency is what I hope you want and desire as well. And then it finishes out here that a word that's S-A-D-U, meaning mountain, suggests great strength. So it's all coming out of this El Shaddai and the breakdown of it in the Hebrew and some of the different breakdowns of the individual parts of that word. So all these names, whether individually or collectively, naturally would be intensified when you combine it with El, God, God. And refers to Him as Yahweh, as the one who mightily nourishes, satisfies, protects, and supplies His people. Ah, I needed Him this week. I'm sure you needed Him this week as well. El Shaddai is our all-sufficient sustainer. It is God as El who helps, and it is God as Shaddai who abundantly blesses with all manner of blessings. Now we can look here in Genesis 17, and this is where you'll find it in the Bible here in Genesis 17, 1-2. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram, and He said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before Me and be blameless. This word, I am Almighty God, is that word of Hebrew El Shaddai. And I will make My covenant between you, Me and you will multiply, and will multiply you exceedingly. And His name is changed a verse or two after that. But that's that word of El Shaddai, and that's getting back to that word when I looked in Corinthians about our sufficiency is that from God. Now we understand that I look around, I see earthen vessels. And maybe some of you are cracked, I don't know. But I'm not going to get into that. Though we find in the Amplified here in 2 Corinthians 4:7, speaking of earthen vessels, in the Amplified it says, however, we possess this precious treasure. What is that? The divine light of the gospel. That's the treasure. In a frail human vessel of earth, that the grandeur and the exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. And everything that we do and everything that we help and the things that we're to be a part of and support in this world, it's to bring honor and glory to God. Amen. It's all to bring glory to God, but that people will feel that sufficiency, not from me, but through Him. God's power dwelling in us is what overcomes our weakness. His power in us overcomes the weakness in us. Knowing the power we have to fulfill what God has for us to do, His power is not in our ability. His power is in His power, working through the vessel. How many here are a vessel? Amen. Good-looking vessels out there. And to have God's power flowing through us, we, of course, need to stay in daily contact with Him. That's how we remain strong. That's how we can, when all of a sudden something tremendously happens, it's not the time to start pulling your Bible out and trying to find something before you go. Many times I don't even, when I go to the hospital to visit, I don't even take a Bible. You know what? If they want me to pray, I will pray, and God will give me the words to say. Now, if they have a Bible, there's times I have read a Bible, and they ask something, and we'll get the Gideon's Bible out, and we'll look at that, and we'll read it. But I don't go marching in there with my Bible. And it is what it is. That's just me. But you know what? Sometimes it's like, I heard a story one time, I think it was Pastor Hoblett shared, or somebody shared about a thing to where a call came in, and the guy said, well, I got to stop by the church and get my Bible to go. You don't have time to do that. You got to go to the hospital. When I got that call, I left and did everything. I just turned everything off where I was at. Got in the car, made a call to someone to try to get a prayer request out. I'm on my way. I don't have time. You got to go. You got to be ready. But you're ready when you're what? God's power flowing through us is a daily contact with Him. And the word that we have soaked into our spirit. We find in Philippians 4:13, we know that. Our ability is able to do all things through who? Christ, that's for me. I'm a man, I can do it. Yeah, that don't work, huh? That don't work at all. It says here in the Amplified, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. When He empowers me, it's saying this, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It just has to go back again, guys. You got to be ready. And the only way to be ready is to stay in constant contact with God. To stay plugged into Him day and night. Guy, I can be watching something on TV and sometimes or whatever in a house or around in the kitchen and I'll say, thank you, Lord. And Dean will say, what? What'd you say? I said nothing. I'm just, my spirit or something. I'm just like, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I love Him. He's a part of me all the time. Why should I not have Him in my life all the time? He's with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. So why can't I stay in His presence and not say, shoo, I don't have time for you today. Shoo, give me 3 hours here. I want to do this and then I'll come back to you. No, this walk with God today and in any day is daily, hourly, minute by second, by millisecond. To be ready, amen? Talks in His word. Be ready to give an answer. In season and out. In season means, hey, I'm ready, I've studied, I've done this, I'm ready to go. Out of season is like this. Boom, here's a question, or here's a situation. What's going to happen? How are you going to handle it? What's going to do it? Ain't going to be me, guys. It's going to be the Spirit of God in me. I trust. And He'll give me the things to say, the words to say, the words hopefully not to say. Thank God for the Holy Spirit to shut me down on Friday so I didn't go off on that person on the phone. Because I'd hate to have to call back and apologize. I'm sorry. Because what they were experiencing was a stressful thing to them. And that's when we get into ministry, and just humanity is this, that I can compare all of these things, but it's like this in our churches sometimes. We want to compare how good I am compared to that person across the aisle, and you don't want to compare yourself to this, to this, to this, to this. You want to know you're right with Him. So then our spirit has to work in us, the Holy Spirit, to say, very, very tragic for this situation. It's a hangnail here, but it's creating distress to this person. It's what is their situation, and how is it affecting them? And then as a pastor, I have to, by that of the Holy Spirit, show compassion, listen, talk, pray, whatever the case might be. But when I stay hooked up with God, it becomes a whole lot easier. And it's not pridefulness, and it's not bragging, because there are times when I know when I've not been connected to Him, and I've got to find that plug. Anybody been there? I've got to pull that plug out, and I got to plug back in. That's not necessarily saying I got to get the Bible and start reading it. It's just that all of a sudden I need to chill. Dear God, forgive me for keeping you out of this situation. Father, be with me now, I pray. Thank you. And get back into that communion and that meditation with Him as we travel, as we go, as we sit, as we talk. I think a lot of times the Holy Spirit tells us a lot of times, just shut up. Have you ever done that? Has the Spirit ever told you just to shut up? I hope you listened. It's just like, it's best to do that. Shut up, Tim. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I am an earthen vessel. But He works through us. And that's His plan. His plan is to work through you. His plan is that He says to each one, put your name here. I need you to be my ambassador. I need you to be, you know, my light, whatever, in that situation. And I'm going to work through you. And you got to remain close to me so that you know what I'm saying and know what I'm doing and know where I'm moving and telling you to do and telling you what not to do. You've got to stay close to me, closer than anything else. Closer than you are to your wife. Closer than you are to your kids. Remember, I shared a long time. Remember, I think she held up like 45. Married 45 years. I remember our early marriage. Well, I remember dating, which was very brief. It was like we only dated from March till about October, and then we got married. So when my wife said, I love Jesus more than you, this old boy was in flesh. Anybody been there? Maybe not. I looked at her like she's crazy. How can you love someone more than me? I'm here. I'm buying you the hamburger and french fries. I took you to White Castle. Woo! Oh, I tell you, God is so good. I didn't understand that because I was new to this. I didn't even have a clue. One thing about being new, another one about not having a clue. But as I got into it more and more, well, that makes perfectly sense. Perfectly good sense, Lord. I understand what my wife was saying back in 1975. Duh! Because when I got my relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, and I fell in love with Him, and I knew His love for me was just always going to be there, I had to come to this point that, God, You're even above my wife. And then my wife. And then my kids. We got to make sure we keep this chain of command, or not a chain of command, but our chain of things of responsibility in this life, and where we put importance on and where we honor, and we got to keep it correct. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe this, you could be a good God-fearing man, but if you put kids, your job, your hobby before God, it ain't going to be good. It ain't going to be good. Or I could say it this way, it will not be good. Just in case I need better language. But it's okay when you begin to get that realization that God has to be first in anything else in my life. And then the woman that he has brought to me, and we've been married, is the second. And then my kids is a blessing. Now, I am almost into consideration that my grandkids are moving up a notch above my kids. You know, I gotta be honest. Yeah, blessing. Sweet kids, all of them. We do. We are blessed. But anyway, I digress. Thank you, Father. But I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. Are you ready for anything to happen in your life? You better be. You can get home today and 5 minutes after walking in the door, all hell can break loose. And what was a tranquil morning can turn into a raging sea. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Our union with Christ gives us the power to do his will and for us to face challenges head on. Most of us by now know that we will face troubles, we will have pressures, we will have trials. But we should also know that Christ's power in us will give us the strength to endure, the strength and to fulfill what needs to be done, and to accomplish what is taking place at the time. And it may not even make sense at the time. And we got to get past that, like, I don't understand this, God. Show me first before I react. Show me first before I do anything else, because I want to know before I do anything else, because our human nature is we want to know everything, right? We're inquisitive. You know, it's like, I wonder how they put this thing in here in this pin. Many times I've done that and I've broken it, you know. Doesn't work anymore. We're inquisitive. Inquiring minds want to know why. And it's like you don't have time to understand. But what do? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. He will not ask you to do something that's contrary to his word or contrary to what he wants in your life. He's there to help us. And he will, by his strength, help us endure, fulfill, and accomplish what is taking place at the time. And then lastly, in Philippians 2:13, it is God working in us. Not in our own strength, for it is God who is all while effectively at work in you, working in you, energizing and creating in you, and the power and the desire both to will and do work for his good, pleasure and satisfying and delight. Let me look here. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And that's right above that is being light bearers. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good and pleasure. Yeah. Well, don't read 14. Do all things without complaining. Yeah, right, Lord. Grumbling. Disputing. Yeah. But in the Amplified, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good, pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Our power comes from that of God. Amen. That's why it's so important to keep plugged into the source. God has not left us alone in our daily life happenings. Now, you may feel like it at times, but he hasn't left you alone. He wants to come alongside us to be our help. The secret to a changed life is to submit to God's control and let him work in the situation at hand. And it's only, I think, at that time to where we release ourselves and we turn it over to him that then he can say what? Okay, now I can come in and do what I have planned. Though also I have to realize what he's got planned may not understand or make us understandable what's being done. And I don't think he ever has come to me, I don't know, has he come to you and say, Tim, I'm going to do this in your life, and this is the way I'm going to do it. Is that agreeable with you? Can we take it a vote or something? And if we did, I would probably be outvoted because it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's 3-1. I say, I don't agree. God, I agree. Jesus, I agree. Holy Spirit, okay, you're out, Tim. It's like we don't have an ability to debate him to say, tell me why. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. Whatever the case might be. But we have to trust and believe and know that he's got our best interest at heart. And then how come? Is it always like after the fact, hello, Monday morning quarterback, that we can always say, oh, after the fact, and we come through it and we look back and we go, wow, God, I understand now. I can see how you were in that situation. And I can see, at first I was thinking, it's a mess, or I don't see how anything good is going to come out of this. But a month later, 2 months later, you hear of something. It's like that video series we're watching on mornings back there, that Through the Eyes of a Lion, that tragedy event. I don't know, Lord, if I was the father of that little girl, I said, I don't know how anything good is going to come out of this. And we've seen the blessings that God has turned that terrible situation into an area that's helping, I believe, many, many people and places around this nation. Yeah, Lord. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Not that Tim is sufficient within himself to think of anything as being from what my ability is. But Lord, my sufficiency, yeah, I get it now. It's from you, God. It is from you. And I pray that you all have that already in your spirit, if not, that this is quickened maybe a little bit more to your spirit of today. And that it just, if, you know, we all have those things, and we just have to sometimes go back and just have a recall of it and just kind of say, hey, guess what, guys? That word's still there. I remember reading that 5 years ago in a situation. Oh, here it is again. And that it affects itself and it fulfills what it's to do in that daily situation. Even now. Amen. That's why this word is so alive. It never changes, but it always adjusts to the point of whatever's going on, and we go back and it's the same verse. It's that same thing that helped me 5 years ago, and it's helping me now, or whatever the case is. It's that word that continues to be the word of God that changes not. That God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And shall he tarry, and 2 or 3 or 4 or however more many generations of society comes through this place called earth, that this word will still be the same word that we're reading in 2021, is the same word that was read in 1800, that will be the word, you know, in 2050. Oh my goodness. 2075. Think of that, guys. Think of that. That another generation down the road could be reading this same text. Going, wow, this must have really helped the people back in 1950, 2000, you know. But his word never changes. And his word is going to be for those on this earth until Jesus comes again. And we've got to do what? Continue to proclaim it. Continue to stand by it. Continue to profess it out, to plant the seeds, to share the love, to share that light. Never give up hope. There's a hopeless and dying world out there. And we've got to continue to show there is a place of hope. There is a place to go to for hope. There is someone that will never leave you nor forsake you. There's someone out here that will not use you up and spit you out. There's someone, God, that will always be for you, and in every situation that comes across your path, that he will be there for you to help you, to comfort you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord, for this day, and I pray, Father, your blessings upon each and every one here today. We love you. We need you. Oh, Father, and we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for being the El Shaddai of our lives, Lord, the God, Almighty God, the God of sufficiency, Lord, in our lives, and that you're there to help us. You're there to help us. And I thank you, Lord, personally, for being my help this week. And Lord, as we go today, be with us. Shine your light upon us. Let it be shining out to others around us. Draw them to us, Lord, so that we can share of your love. Share of your love. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.